And you're very welcome back to the program. Looking up at this night sky can be a humbling and awe-inspiring experience, but knowing what to look for makes it even more special. And to guide us through the celestial happenings over the coming days, we are delighted to be joined by David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. David, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Okay, David, let's start with the headline act for stargazers. I understand that the planet Saturn is putting on a fantastic show in the evening sky right now. What makes its current appearance so special?
Well, it's coming closest to Earth in September. And as well as that, the rings are turned almost edge on. So this only happens once every 15 years. So if you look at Saturn through a telescope, you'll see its disk, its globe, but normally have these glorious rings that we see in photographs, but because they're tipped edge on to us, only is a very thin line. You get a very unique view of Saturn, nothing like what it looks like for the other 15 years. So it's a very special target. If you have your own telescope, you've got to take a look every time it gets clear. And it's in the evening sky now, so by the time the sky gets dark, Saturn will be coming up over in the east, and it'll be getting higher earlier as the weeks tick by. And the big chance for people who don't have giant telescopes will come at the Starbecue this September 20th, when we'll set up dozens of giant telescopes, at least 1,000 times more powerful than your eyes, and they will show the rings of Saturn, even though they're almost tipped edge on, and indeed the moons of Saturn. I've seen 6 of its moons with telescopes of this size. So September is definitely Saturn's month.
Okay, and you mentioned it's a once a 15-year view. For those of us who don't have a powerful telescope, what's the best way to get a look at this?
Well, it has to be the Starbecue, the biggest star party in Ireland every year. It will be, Saturn will be, the star attraction, if you'll forgive the pun, at the event. The idea is to show the wonders of the universe to people, and whenever we show Saturn through telescopes to members of the public, they ooh and awe at the sight, because to the naked eye it looks just like an average bright star, nothing special about it. But in the telescope it really does look like the pictures you see online in books and magazines, the big globe with the rings either side. And it's even better than looking at it on screens or in books and magazines, because there's a sort of ethereal quality to the light of looking at Saturn live in a big telescope. You've just got to experience it to believe it. It's something to do once in your life. And if you're going to see Saturn, see it uniquely with almost its rings edge on.
And I asked you that question just to give you, allow you to give another plug for that star barbecue as well. Now, Titan has an atmosphere even thicker than the Earth's, which is incredible for a moon. What's the secret behind that?
Yeah, well, of course, Titan is Saturn's biggest moon. It's so big, it's about the size of the planet Mercury. So about 1.5 times the width of our moon, for instance. But it's very far from the sun out where Saturn is. Saturn is 10 times further from the sun than we are. So the sunlight is only 1%, 1/100th of what it is here on the Earth. So it gets freezing cold out there. And Titan is at about minus 190 degrees Celsius. So it never gets that cold anywhere on Earth. You know, the coldest place in the middle of winter at the South Pole dropped, I think, once to minus 90. Titan, a warm part of it, are minus 190. And that means its atmosphere is very thick, because the hotter you make an atmosphere, the thinner it gets. That's what causes the weather on the Earth, the difference in temperatures of different parts of the atmosphere. So on Titan, although it's smaller than the Earth, has less gravity, the air, if you want to call it that, is actually 1.5 times thicker. The gravity's less. It's a crazy planet to imagine. You'll see it in the telescopes at the Starbecue. It's the brightest moon Saturn has, and even a small telescope will actually show it. And to stand thinking, this tiny blip that you can see is actually as big as a planet in its own right, with its own atmosphere, 1.5 times thicker than ours, makes you realize all the different kinds of places there are in the universe, especially when you're thinking about where life might exist. There's even a tiny chance at minus 190 Celsius that life could exist on Titan. Not on the surface, but below the surface, where we now know there's water, and it will be warmer. So it could be similar to the kind of conditions where life got started on the early Earth. That's a lot of speculation, but there's a chance it could actually harbour simple microbial life.
Now, let's shift, David, from the evening to the early morning. For any early risers, what's waiting for them in the eastern sky before dawn?
Yeah, well, if you get up around sunrise, so we're talking around the 6 o'clock mark, before that, you'll see Jupiter breezing over in the east. It's really come into its own now. I just happened to wake up early there the other night, looked out the window, and there was Jupiter blazing away. So you'll easily see it's about 10 times brighter than the very brightest star in the sky. So if you see anything in the east in the morning twilight, that's definitely Jupiter. And well to its lower left, you'll see the planet Venus, which is a little bit brighter than Jupiter, but lower down now. The two pass by one another on August 12th, but now Venus is pulling away from Jupiter quite rapidly. Jupiter will move into the evening sky, Saturn will dive down a bit after next month and be lost to view. So things are always changing dynamically. And we have Jupiter with its own four moons that you can see, not just in a small telescope, but I've actually seen them in binoculars. So even small, tiny telescopes can see the moons of Jupiter. And this weekend, its biggest moon, Ganymede, about the same size as Saturn's big moon, Titan, actually drops its shadow onto the cloud tops of Jupiter, which you can see in a small telescope. It's amazing. It looks like a jet black dot, a circle, crossing Jupiter for several hours. So that's something to look forward to this weekend as well. But you will need your own telescope to see that, I'm afraid.
Now, let's talk about our own moon, because it's reaching its first quarter phase this weekend. Why is that a particularly good time for moon gazing?
Yeah, the best time to see the moon, especially close up in binoculars or telescopes, is not when it's full, but actually when it's about a first quarter, so a semicircle in shape. And the reason for that is where the dark side of the moon meets the sunlit side, that's where sunrise and sunset are happening on the moon. And so you get very long shadows cast. So although it might be hard to see a mountain that's only a few miles high, a quarter of a million miles away on the moon, the shadow could be 10 times longer or more. So the shadows really make the relief on the moon, the mountains, the craters, stand out. So you can scan up and down the edge, even with a small telescope, even in binoculars, and see an incredible amount of detail. So first quarter is on Saturday, so a couple of days either side of that. The quarter moon this time of year is always a bit low down, but you'll still get to see it. And, you know, if you're into moon gazing, this weekend is the time to do it. And on Monday, the bright star Antares actually passes quite close to the moon. Technically, we should say the moon passes quite close to the star, because the moon that's doing most of the moving. So if you're watching the moon on Sunday night, you'll see just next to it is a bright star. It's the brightest star in Scorpius. It's always low down, called Antares, Ant meaning rival, and Aries meaning Mars. So it's the rival of Mars, because it is an orangey-red star, just like the red planet Mars. And that you can see with a naked eye. Of course, you've got a pair of binoculars. You'll fit the two of them into the field of view at the same time and get an even better look. That's one of the highlights of the week.
Now,
and that's in the evening sky, so you don't have to get up at dawn for that one.
Okay, and David, tell us how the plans are going for Starbucks. What's the interest like so far?
Yeah, we've had record bookings so far. It's the biggest annual star party in the country. There are talks, there's exhibitions, there's a professionally catered barbecue. It's happening 1,000 feet above sea level in the Wicklow Mountains. We hire out the GA grounds in Roundwood. We have the entire pitch strewn with giant telescopes, the huge 1,000-seater hall that we can have the talks in, and the barbecue outside, of course, rocket launches to kick the whole thing off. And we've confirmed now all the speakers, three speakers, about three half-hour talks. The best one we've got, I think, is that there's a new presenter on the BBC Sky at Night program, the program made famous by Patrick Moore since 1957 it's been running. It's great that the oldest running show in the world is actually an astronomy show. And the new presenter is called George Dransfield, and she's an expert in exoplanets, and she'll give the keynote talk about that. We all get a chance to meet her.
Okay, that's fantastic stuff. We leave it there. A once-in-15-year view of Saturn's rings, eclipses on distant moons, and planetary spectacles at dawn. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, thank you so much for giving us a tour of the universe this week. And remember, you can find all the details that David mentioned, including tickets for the Star Barbecue, at astronomy.ie. Now, I'm off to find my binoculars for tonight. So that brings us to the end of this evening's programme. Thanks indeed, David. Today's programme was produced by Regina Blunden and myself.